There's a young ventriloquist and he's touring. And he's doing small little towns. And as he's doing the act, he has his dummy on his knee and he's going through all the usual things that a ventriloquist does with his dummy. He's drinking water while speaking and he's telling jokes. And he happens to be telling a joke with a dummy on his knee about a blonde. And this blonde from the fourth row gets up. And she says, listen, I've heard enough of your stupid blonde jokes. What makes you think you can stereotype women like this? What does the colour of a woman's hair have to do with her worth as a human being? It's guys like you who keep women from me being respected at work and in the community. The guy's really, really upset. He said, it's just an act. He said, I'm really, really sorry. And the blonde says, shut up, mister. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to that little guy sitting on your knee. But I wonder if we can be like that. I think we can be like dummies at times. And I think God, every time God wants to speak, I think God wants to speak not because he's bored, but because he wants to do something in our lives. And just like 2011, to hear God speak, who would like to hear God speak more in 2011 than they certainly did in 2010? But if we are prepared to want God to speak to us more, are we prepared to adhere to what he has to say more? God will take you one ladder at a time. But he'll not take you to the second ladder until you've actually achieved the first ladder. And most of us like to go from first to third. I don't know about you, but sometimes coming downstairs, I try to miss a stair to come down a bit quicker. Sometimes it's been fatal. But it is, isn't it? Have you ever tried it? Or come down the banister? Who's tried to come down the banister? Eh? But you've tried to come down the banister before, eh? Long time ago, yeah. I used to laugh at Norman Wisdom. Anybody remember Norman Wisdom? Yeah, and some of the things he could do. But sometimes we do just want to miss a step out, don't we, to get down. But God is not in a hurry. And he said, listen, Eddie, if you never adhere when God speaks to you and you never put it into practice, trust me, he won't move you on to the next ladder. Now, that will be frustrating to you, he said. I'll guarantee it's frustrating because you want to go not from A to B. You want to go from A to Z in one just giant leap for mankind. But he said God's interested from A to B, then B to C and D to E. And it was something that stuck with me. And I've often thought when things are not going right, have I not actually achieved the ladder that God has already set for me? Now that may have been anything in your life. And it doesn't have to be something extraordinary that God's asked you to do. It might have been just to phone someone to say, I'm sorry that we've fallen out. But God will not move you on in relationship because you haven't put the relationship right. That had gone wrong with the last one. Don't always look for huge, giant steps that God's asking you to do. Sometimes he's just asking you to do small things that have been left undone. And that's what I want to talk about over the next 2 weeks. In the first epistle of John, God is speaking about life in general. But in the second epistle of John, John is speaking about something that needs to be the hallmark of us in 2011. And it's one word. It's called truth. Do you know that God, above all things, wants us to be true people? Because what's the opposite of truth? How many of us know we can live a life of a... But God wants us to be true people. True people. Let's look at 3 John. To the beloved Gaius whom I love in the... We're still on about truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in... health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testify of the truth that is in you. Isn't it wonderful to know when someone comes and says to you, do you know that brother and sister tells me the truth? He's looking for people who will live in the truth and not live a lie. Listen, he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, especially in your health, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testify of the truth that is in you. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in. Does he say prosperity? Does he say health? Does he say finances? What is John looking for? This is a man who leaned on the bosom of Jesus. This is a man who was more into Jesus, I believe, than any of the other disciples. This is a man who was transported into heaven and wrote the book of Revelation. And John's greatest desire for his children of his church, although he mentions in verse 1 about prosperity, his greatest desire for his church is that they walk in. Their lives are set by a standard where people will say, I don't agree with them. I don't like their ideology. I don't like the thing. But this I will say, there are people who don't talk a talk, but they walk a walk. And it doesn't contradict what they believe. They walk in truth. They live in truth. They act in truth. They behave in truth. What will transform the generation that's living outside there is when they say this church is a church of truth. Of the couple that we had with the twins, one of the guys came up and said, I don't come to church. But he said, I never thought church could be like this. Is this what church is really like? I said, well, it is here. I can't speak for another church, but I said it is here. This wasn't a show you saw this morning. It was something that we would normally do, apart from the dedication, of course. But I hear what he was saying. I didn't think church was like this, because the world has a perception of church, haven't they? Haven't they? And it's not always been a perception of truth, is it? How are we perceived in the community? David has already prayed, and we're going, we haven't started the sermon. By the way, none of this is in the notes, so we're off on a tangent. So we might as well start 2011 as I finish 2010. So what I'm saying is this. David is saying, we're going to go into the community with CAP. That's Christians Against Poverty. Now, we're not offering them money because we can't offer them something that we haven't got. We're going to offer them a way of helping them to financially get themselves back on track. But what we want for them most of all to see, that as we're doing that, over the weeks that David and his team are out in the community dealing with these people, that these people will see something in David and something in his team that will make a difference, that will bring them to the Savior. Because as much as it would be great for them to come out of debt, it would be greater for them to come into the truth. And when people say to David and his team, why are you doing it? It will be a marvelous opportunity for them to proclaim how much their Father in heaven loves them, wants to see them on a stable financial basis, but much more than that, how wants to see them in a stable relationship with themselves. But I want this church to be known as a church of truth. It doesn't matter who pastors the church. It doesn't matter who comes. As long as someone can come into this church and having spent some time here can say, well, on a Sunday they don't put a performance up. What actually is happening is that if I was to meet these people Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in other words, we would still see the same as we see on a Sunday morning. Because you can be caught up on a Sunday morning full of worship, but our lives suddenly click over the moment we clock in on a Monday morning. Now it can. You spend an hour and a half here. We haven't started, we definitely haven't started, we haven't even gone into the introduction. We, though, seriously, will spend an hour and a half here at the most, unless you're going to come this evening. But how many hours will you spend out there in the world in 2011? How many hours are you going to spend tomorrow right through till next Sunday? Because that's where rubber hits the road, isn't it? Rubber doesn't hit the road here on a Sunday morning. In regards to truth, rubber hits the road Monday morning when Caroline goes to work and behaves like Caroline in Christ or behaves like Caroline in Caroline. When suddenly Caroline has to stop and think, oh, I do want to headbutt that person, but WWWJD, what would Jesus do? Because I hear she's pretty... She's a pretty good headbutter. I've only heard that, man. I haven't experienced it, thank God. But what I'm saying is, it's so easy out there in the world to come into the world's pattern, isn't it? It's so easy in our confrontations. It's so easy in our walk of life to be conformed to what the world wants us to be conformed to. I tell you, the reason why Christianity is not for a wimp is because it's the most difficult thing to do, isn't it? See, the easiest thing to do when you get at work is to lie, is to cheat, is to try and get up on your own success, is to do the normal things that become normally expected. But it is quite different to live a Christian life in an environment that is alien and becoming more and more and more and more... And 2011 will bring new challenges to the Christian faith. Brothers and sisters, life isn't going to get easier in the sense of how the world's going to react to us. It's going to get harder, but the greater thing is that he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world today. So our standard is still the same, and the one who we have is still the same. Therefore, we can go into the new year still the same, knowing we will outcome still the same because of he who is in us. But life will not be easier this year for the Christian. But John says, I delight greatly. Not when I hear how many numbers is in your church. John doesn't say that. I say that. But John doesn't say that. John says, I get delighted when someone says, hey, John, you want to see that church down in Tyburn Road? There's only a few of them. But wow, they just live God. They live him. People in the street will say to them, oh, you mean them Christians down the street? Wow. They don't just say things. They mean what they say and they do what they say. My mate works with one of them. And there's a difference in how they behave at work. You know, I live next door to one of them, and yes, they retired, but, you know, there's just something, different about them. They're walking in truth. Living in truth. Some of you are going to have new challenges this year. New faces to change. But the one thing we must reflect is that God, we must get into this. It's almost 12 o'clock. I don't even know whether we'll just stop. We're just doing the introduction. This year we may be apprehensive. But in verse 2, John wants us to know that it is not wrong for you and I to be praying that you might prosper in all things. John starts off his salutation by saying, "Behold, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So, is John preaching a prosperity gospel and a model for us to follow? Because John is certainly praying that Gaius will prosper. Before we get carried away, and we'll just finish with this, before we get carried away, we must notice a few things concerning prosperity. First of all, in the time that John wrote, it was a formal greeting. It's like me saying to Peter, "Have a good day," after you put the phone down. "Have a good day. Have a blessed day. Stay healthy." They would say that all the time. They wouldn't say, "Give me five" in John's day. They would say, "I pray that you may prosper." So John's not actually praying for a prosperity gospel. He's actually saying, "Well, Maisie, have a great day and I hope you prosper in your day." Now that's different to preaching a gospel of prosperity. Because he says, "I want you to prosper, not as your bank balance," but he says, "I want you to prosper as your soul prospers." Your soul prospers. And the greatest prosperity that happened in your soul was the day you invited Jesus into your life. Friends, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, then your soul is not actually prospering. But God wants you to have a relationship with Him. And God wants to prosper you in 2011, far greater than 2010, and He wants to prosper your soul. Because that's the emotion that's going to live forever. God wants to prosper you because you're going to live forever. And He wants to bless you abundantly in your soul. The hymn writer says, "Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art." It all comes from the soul. So this year, instead of saying, "Have a good day," you might want to say, as John says, "I pray that you might prosper." That's one of the ways that John was saying. The second word, Greek word for prosper, means to travel well on a journey. It fits in with the use of blessing. A lot of people would say, "I hope you prosper on your journey today." In other words, on your journey of life today. It was just another form of greeting of prosperity. So John may be saying to Gaius, "Have a great day, Gaius. I hope you have a prosperous day on your journey of your life today." And thirdly, it's not something one should actively pursue, but rather a gift that one should look at for a sense of wholeness. Like the Old Testament time, the concept was when you met people, they would say shalom. They would say shalom. Peace be. Well, in John's day, they'd move from shalom to saying, "May prosper you today." It was a form of greeting. It's not saying that you pursue prosperity to anything else. It's simply a greeting. But I do believe that God, it's 12:5, we are going to finish. We're just going to do this some other time. I do believe that in 2011, God is seeking to prosper you. But not at the expense of riches compared to your soul. I believe God's more interested in 2011 in your soul prospering than He ever will be in your bank balance prospering. Because He's after the whole person. He wants to change you. He wants to change Lisa this year more than He changed her last year. He wants to change me more than He wants anything else. And He knows it's a hard job. Because He knows, A, I'm stubborn, I am. He knows I'm stubborn. He knows that I want something for this church that He may not want. And He knows that I won't give in until He breaks me. Because I'm a man. And some men were just stubborn. Well, that's what our wives tell us. But God is seeking, wherever you live, friend, whether you live in Southampton or whether you're blessed to live in Sunderland, wherever you live, God, in 2011, wants to read these verses to you from 3rd the Epistle of John. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. I pray that you will all be in good health. Just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. Now, friend, if your soul is not prospering, in other words, if you're not having that relationship with God, John says that's how I equate prosperity. What is your relationship with God like? What is it like? What is your daily time with God like? Where does it fit into your schedule? John says, as your soul prospers, so I hope your health prospers. So I hope your bank balance prospers. But he says this, there is no greater joy, no greater joy can be given than God to hear people in our neighborhood saying, Erdington Elam Church, they walk in truth. Friend, that's my ambition. Why I'm going to go on for probably the next few weeks now talking about this word truth. I believe 2011 must be a year of truth in our own lives. And next week we're going to look at this as how the first part of truth is how you and I deal with one another. And you can read 3 John and you can understand what it's saying. But next week, it's important to understand that if you and I, if Claudette and I can't live in truth together, it starts off with Claudette and I, you and I. We'll never preach truth into a neighborhood if we've not got truth in here. And for some of us, we may have to break relationships in the sense of just breaking ice. It's 7:05. I'm going to stop. Seriously. We'll do it next week. But I want to tell you something. We are going to have to put some things aside this year to grow as a family. It starts, John says, when you and I walk in truth. How many of us are prepared this year to break out of the mold and to get to know one another a lot more this year than we did last year? That does not mean to say we're living in each other's pockets. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, will this church have a relationship one with another, with its ups and with its downs, but wherever we're up or wherever we're down, we will walk together in truth. Are we? Jane prayed that this church might grow and prosper this year. I want to tell you, if we want to grow, we've got to grow together. And our hallmark needs to be in truth. Will we accept one another in truth? Will you go and talk to someone if you feel there's something wrong and talk to them in truth and in love? I hope you're prepared this year. We're finished now. I hope we're prepared this year to first of all prosper in our soul and walk in truth. Because I believe that God grows his church when he sees a people walking in truth.